Welcome, everybody, to the EFIS Baseball Cards Podcast. I am your host, Robert F. Baseball, here to talk about Series 2, Carrier Pigeons, the Oregon Trail, and all things shipping with my friend here, my fearless co-host, TJ. TJ, how are you doing, man?
I currently am on the Oregon Trail eating meager rations. I'm experiencing symptoms of dysentery, and I'm not sure that myself or my party is going to make it, but I'm here, and let's get to it.
No matter what your people tell you, don't try to ford the river. It rarely ends well. So TJ is very sad right now. He paid the extra shipping, like he said last episode, for his S2 hobby boxes, and you would think overnight shipping might get it there on release day, or worst case, maybe a day after release, or a days after. Mm-hmm. When's your estimated delivery again?
So we are recording this. It is Saturday, June 10th, and it's 11:02 a.m. My estimated delivery would be Monday before 7 p.m., according to UPS, and that is following several incidents. So apparently at some point in time, my package ended up on a train. We'll get to that in a second. I paid for the overnight shipping, the pre-order being the operative word there. So jumbo boxes came out on Wednesday, and I had ordered mine, I don't know, weeks ago, whatever. Paid the $30 for the overnight shipping. And Monday, I got a shipping notification, and it said that my box was anticipated to arrive by Friday, which Monday to Friday, you know, as we've established, I'm not the best guy at math. I'm also not the smartest guy, but overnight to me would indicate that I should have a box on Tuesday, worst case scenario, Wednesday, which I'm totally fine with. It's release day. That makes all the sense in the world. Maybe it shows up on Thursday and the tracking's just being pessimistic. You know what I mean? It'll be there Friday, but we'll hit you with a nice surprise on Thursday, maybe even Wednesday. I think it was Friday. I got a notification from UPS. It was a tracking update. Of course, it was, you know, not going to be good news because I didn't have the box already. And they told me that a train had derailed, causing.
Wait, that was real?
Oh, no, I didn't make the shit up. I screenshotted it and put it in the Discord.
Really?
Legitimately, a train derailed and delayed my shipment. So
why the fuck is overnight shipping coming via train?
It's 2023, my man. So this is the, you know, and so then that's where in the Discord all the Oregon train jokes kind of trail jokes kind of started. But yeah, man, I still don't have my jumbo boxes. So and it's beautiful watching all you other bastards get your boxes like would you pre-order from Steel City like a day or two after mine? Steel City is not Tops. So how the hell does Steel City have the box before Tops has the box to ship you the box before I get my box? What kind of sense does that make? Or all the guys that just ordered a hobby box and got theirs, didn't pay for overnight shipping, didn't pay for any shipping at all. They just got the free shipping that Tops already offered. So Tops does better for you if you do the free shipping than the overnight shipping. So you remember the last episode, I was like, oh yeah, pre-order the hobby bag and get the overnight shipping, and this might be a little trick for you guys in the future. Screw all of that. Don't pay for that. There's no reason for that. If I would have waited till release day and paid for overnight shipping on Wednesday, I would have had my box already. But I don't have the box right now. And I did the pre-order with overnight shipping. I could go on and on and on. I don't know how much time you have on this episode.
All right. But I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to cut. All right. We're gonna start again from the top. Robert F. Baseball here. The Discord boys know what's up. They know what that's all about. TJ, other than, you know, this train derailment, how's the hobby treating you the last couple weeks? Anything good to say?
All right, so I got that off my chest. Yeah, everything's been great, man. It's been a good couple weeks in the hobby. I made a bunch of Ellie De La Cruz money, you know, selling at the peak. We managed to run our first ever nonprofit break on the EFIS live stream, despite Top's greatest efforts. And that was a success. Did a few pack openings, some hanger box openings, just to kind of practice for the break on the Discord. And that was a lot of fun too, because like I said, I'm not a breaker. It's not something I've done a lot. So it was a good time to just kind of be able to do that in a friendly environment. Open some packs, have some fun, bullshit with the guys, and yeah, we had a good time.
Yeah, dude. It was a good time, and we'll dig more into that as well. Have you bought anything? Any singles? Or just the boxes that you're waiting to arrive?
Yeah, I put most of my stock into those. I've got a couple bids out to a couple Yachties, so
yeah.
Keep that quiet till next episode.
There you go. Speaking of keeping things quiet, while we talk, I'm going to find a picture of the big S1 purchase that I made, and I'm going to send it to you. Don't reveal what it is. I'm going to drop it on the Discord for the boys. Discord exclusive, how I'm closing the books on series one. So I'm going to send that to TJ here. But aside from that, you know, I think the good news for me is since that episode dropped, the last episode, the Padres are 6-4. And they're in Colorado right now. I'm just really hoping that that is what turns them around. But we've also got some bad news in the hobby. Jacob DeGrom with the Tommy John surgery. That is very unfortunate. And the Fanatics CEO, his video with European soccer star Antoine Griezmann. I do want to talk about that a little bit. TJ, what do you think? Did you watch this video, right?
Hold on, I just got the text from Bobby. Woo! Okay.
Fire?
Woo-hoo! Yeah, that's sexy, bro. That's a beautiful thing right there.
I was gonna buy a jumbo because I never opened a hobby or a jumbo of Series 1. I think it's an awesome product with lots of good stuff in it. And I said, should I open a jumbo or should I just buy something big? And I upped my budget a little and went a little over the jumbo budget and went for that card, which I figure is going to be better than anything I was pulling out of any of those boxes.
Can I say anything about it at all?
Sure. You can give some clues. Just maybe don't say the color of the player's jersey, his name, or...
So what I will say is this is a card that would typically be very tough to get in a high grade, and mm-hmm. to get something like this in a 9 or a 10 or even an 8, to be honest with you, is typically not an easy grade. So off that alone, very nice, very nice, very
I'm
nice.
I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Very nice matching situation going on there.
Good matching. The little hints I'll give as well are the black edges are really tough, right?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yep. It's a numbered card. It's a PSA 9 and it is a pop one. And it's not a pop one because it's not a card that you would want to grade. This is a banger. And I think it's a pop one because people are afraid to grade with those black edges. And I was actually looking at raw cards as well and comparing them to the picture of this card in the slab, and man, they're not a lot that look gradable. So I'm really happy it just got authenticated up the street at PSA, so it should be to me early next week. Dudes in the Discord, I'll drop this for you. Probably I'll give like a day or two after the episode drops. Let the excitement or my own excitement build. But I'm excited to share it. It's a good card. It's a big card. I'm really happy to have it. Okay. Back to Fanatics. the CEO, I think it was the Fanatics CEO and maybe like one of the high up guys from Topps Collectibles or Fanatics Collectibles, whatever the company's called, for some social media promo, I think over in Europe, they opened a box of Topps Sterling with European soccer player Antoine Griezmann, who probably knows absolutely nothing about baseball, right? He's a French dude who plays in Spain. He doesn't know baseball. But, you know, they're opening a box with them. They brought him, hand-delivered a box to him to open. TJ, what? Tell me, what's in the fucking box? Is it what everybody else opening Sterling was likely to get? Was it a Wade Boggs relic and maybe, if we're lucky, like a Frank Thomas auto?
It wasn't Brad Pitt's wife's head. It wasn't. So, you know, I've watched a lot of Sterling get opened, bro. A lot of it, because I was banging on it pretty hard when we talked about it on the podcast. And it's a tough rip at $1,000. And I think if you watched an entire case be opened, you wouldn't see one or of the either of the two of these cards get pulled out of a whole case. So there was a nice one-of-one cut auto, and that's when they take, you know, something that somebody has autographed that is not necessarily a baseball card. It could be a check or a contract or a napkin or whatever the hell that case is, and they'll cut it out and they'll kind of integrate it into a baseball card. So it was a one-of-one cut auto of Jackie Robinson.
But there's more.
Yeah. And then I think, and it was ridiculous how casually he just came. He's like, oh yeah. And then just a dual Mike Trout patch auto. Just a Trout patch. And if anybody that I know or you know or listens to this pulled that Trout patch, they would lose their minds. They would absolutely lose their minds. Just without question. And the one-on-one Jackie Robinson, I mean, that's probably one or two of the most ridiculous baseball cards I've ever even heard about in my entire life. Have you ever seen or heard about a Jackie Robinson autograph anywhere on anything? That's more ridiculous than a Babe Ruth
cut. I actually saw a Jackie Robinson auto in person at a card show. Jackie Robinson on a card. It was like selling for like 15 grand.
I would just say like five figures easy. I mean, so, I mean, just to see that come out under those circumstances, and you know, there's speculation. So the box, you know, it was kind of pre-opened, if you will, right? So everything's, you know, supposed to be cellophane wrapped. And if you see them open Sterling, you got that stupid sleeve over the top. They probably, you know, the counter argument to that would be, well, they did that so that the guy doesn't look like a jackass trying to open the box for 15 minutes. You know what I mean? He's got there with razor blades and all this other type of stuff. But I mean, anything counter to the point that that's just a loaded box, I think you're just being disingenuous. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I just don't like it as like a, oh, we're going to promote this product with this athlete, and we're just going to sit here and casually on social media rip one box just to show what the product is. And it's just like, yo, that's not what the product is. Those are like the biggest hits. Like, you can open 10 cases and you're not going to get that.
You won't see either one of those cards.
Yeah, it was just nuts. So I keep going back and forth between, are these guys evil geniuses? This, you know, what I'm inferring talking about this is, they can produce a loaded box. They can produce a hot box. They know where the hits are. There was a scandal last year, I think, with some Panini Downtown car or Panini, I forget, maybe it was Kabooms. It was a basketball product that by the code that was on the box, you could tell where the case hit was.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, if you know that and you wanted to do devious things with it, you could do lots. You could, if you're Tops, you could say, oh, here's my palette that has all the big hits. Here's my palette that is, you know, the mid boxes. And you could do something like, oh, first time buyer of a hobby box, give him one from the hot box stack. Let's try to hook him in. Oh, this guy's an addict. He's buying shit nonstop. Give him a mid box kind of deal. So I don't love it. I mean, there's really no controls over it. And, you know, it's just kind of like, how stupid do you think we are? Like, do you really think that people believe you just took one random box and you opened it and that's what you got? Like, I don't fucking think so. There's no way. So I'm just being a little careful and I'm watching it a little bit. I'm also a little skeptical because the first hobby box I ever bought was the biggest hit that I've ever hit. So, and the second one that I ever bought was the second biggest hit that I've ever had. And I've never hit anything close to that since. So I'm kind of like, huh, what's going on here? And it might just be coincidence, but I just wanted to call it out. Go find the video, look for yourself, see what you think. I mean, the shit-eating grin on, like, the Fnatic CEO's face, like, he's not shocked to see the Jackie 1-of-1. So
everybody should be shocked to see that Jackie 1-of-1. even the guy, like you say, he doesn't open cards or anything like that. He knows who Jackie Robinson is, bro. He should be losing his mind. He has to know, like, this man's been, you know, passed away for however many decades. Like, this has to be rare as Jackie Robinson. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's opens the door to all the speculation now. All of it.
Yep. And I totally get it. It is not an effective promotional video if you take a box there. And like I said, you open it and it's... I'm not trying to trash Wade Boggs. He's awesome. I've never drank 60 beers on a flight like he has. No. But a Wade Boggs patch and like, some other random auto, right? Like that's not going to promote the box. That's not going to say this thing's worth $1,000. So I get it. It's business. I think, again, it's kind of one of those risks of this monopoly. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You know, now I think of it as probably the only two cards that would justify $1,000 a box.
I know, right? You see that and you're like, oh shit, I'm going to go buy 10 of those things. They're great.
If they all look like that, I'd buy a couple. I'll buy a case.
Yeah. Damn. Oy, oy, oy. The other thing that I noticed, I think I called out to some of the guys on the Discord that I thought was kind of cool is, I don't know if any of you have noticed, when you put an offer in on eBay now, I don't know if it's just for certain dollar value cards or if it's every card, but you have to put your payment information in. And if it gets accepted, it auto pays, which I think is awesome. I've not seen it happen with auctions yet, which I think auctions are actually the bigger problem with non-payments. And there's more opportunity costs for the seller because they had all those eyes on it. So I would like to see them implement that over auctions, but nonetheless, I think a step in the right direction in terms of using eBay. I don't know. Have you noticed anything with that, TJ?
So I heard that too, and I thought that was awesome as well, but I spent 2 days chasing down a guy for a $13 Ellie De La Cruz first Bowman. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't think it happens in all instances. You know, there used to be a setting where when you're listing a card for sale, it would say, you know, require immediate payment. And you could check, you know, whether or not you wanted that to be an option. So, you know, when I did hear guys mention that, you know, now they have to enter the payment info, et cetera, et cetera. I looked and, you know, since then I've been listing cards and that option is no longer available. So in most instances, I have been receiving my payment as soon as somebody accepts an offer. But like I said, I've also got guys, you know, he sent me an offer of 10. I sent a counter of 12. He accepted, and then I waited 2 days to get payment. So what are you going to do? Yeah, if you sell cards on a Tuesday or Wednesday, a lot of times guys are trying to not pay you till Friday, which drives me insane.
Yeah, it's annoying. I wish it was just automatic. I mean, you make a bid or you make an offer and it, you know, you've got to have payment info in there to do it. It's an easy fix to make, so I don't know why they don't do it.
Yeah, what other business does that exist? You know, to walk in, yeah, I'm going to buy this. Yeah. And then nobody else can buy it, but you're just not going to pay for it until you decide that that's okay. I don't think that that's a business model literally anywhere else.
Who does good business like for that? eBay. It's good business for eBay to require a payment, right? Yeah. Like, they don't make any money off of people, quote unquote, selling cards and then like backing out, you know? So, what do I know? What do I know? But I think a step in the right direction. So I want to acknowledge that. And I think really my only other big news, for those, again, not to sound like a broken record, join the Discord, everybody. It's awesome. But for those of you in, it's been a lot of fun. Those of you in the Discord have seen it. I finally got that Fernando Tatis Golden Mirror from Series 1. I completed my Padres Gold and Mirror set. So I've got a gold out of 2023 of every Padre, and I've got the Golden Mirror card. So I'm ready for Series 2. That's all I'm going to say. Close the book on Series 1 for me.
Series 2 has been a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions so far, but we've opened some, so, you know. Has some thoughts, but Series 1, good rookie class, brutal rip, man. Just there's just so much of it printed, and I mean, you still see 22 Series 1 out and readily available. So, yeah, it's just a tough rip. It's a tough rip.
Yeah. What do you think about it? Look, should we move into Series 2? Is there anything else we want to talk about, or are we just all Series 2?
I think it's Series 2 time. I think it's Series 2 review.
30 or 100 minutes of Series 2 and then some mailbag.
Per our usual.
Yeah, so we've heard about the shipping fiasco. I've opened a box, a personal box, and I did the break. The break, by the way, TJ, awesome break. I told you, I was texting with you last night and I told you, I think you did an awesome job. It was just the right amount of commentary. It was the perfect pace for ripping. I thought it was a really good experience. I enjoyed it and I'll do it again. So thanks for doing that. And you've already packed it all up. That's a lot of labor.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I got them all packed up. Let's get into that a little bit, cause that's kind of my Series 2 experience, but I appreciate that. Thanks so much. So I gave up on the shipping, man. I gave up on them. And, you know, we've been talking about this break for a little while. And I think we talked a little bit about it on the last episode, but we decided to do a nonprofit break. So it worked out to, I think it was, what, $11, $12 per team, something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
And so I stopped by I got a couple LCS here in town. Shout out to Showtime Sports Cars over there on Speedway. Junior hooked me up. I came in. He had, I don't have any left. And then I saw one kind of sitting on the floor down there. And that's sometimes where they'll stash boxes that somebody asked him to set aside, or maybe they're going to do a break later or something like that. And he hooked me up for $210, which is still cheaper than what I paid on Tops with the pre-order, you bastards. I brought it home and got it ready for the break. And it was an okay box. The auto was good. James Outman, rookie auto, and it's on card, so that's nice. It was pretty mediocre box. Aside from that, no good rookie color, a couple gold foils of some vets, and Bobby made a really good point during the break about the vet checklist. Bobby, you want to tell him what you said about that?
Yeah, I just didn't think it was really good. I think that looking at the rookie checklist was great, I think. And I think it was on par, dare I say, actually, I don't want to say better than Series 1. I think it was on par with Series 1.
I would agree.
It was deep. There were 10 or so that you wouldn't mind hitting. But the vets, and just using the Padres as an example too, I know I'm biased, but really you've got like a few of the Padres that you would recognize and know. But in Series 1, it was like top to bottom. It felt like, you know, the household names. And I think, you know, across other teams as well, I was just seeing a lot of cards of maybe journeyman veterans that have changed teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, again, Padres is an example, your Nelson Cruz, your Matt Carpenter, but I would say those are even good veterans for what was in the box. It just felt like it was there were a lot of rookies, right? The good rookie class, and there were some decent veterans, and then there were just a lot of no names.
And this seems also to be where it seems to me like they threw a bunch of rookies who maybe debuted last year who aren't even in the majors anymore. So like two of the Padres rookies, I've never even heard of them. I don't think they're in the majors. They may be in the organization, but they're not people we're talking about as depth pieces. So they're not your cards that you want to hit. Yeah, I don't know. So we were like opening, as you were opening packs, sometimes there would be five, six, seven cards in a row of guys that I'm like, who in the hell is that?
Exactly.
And I don't remember that being the case for Series 1. It's a tough rip, like you said, because there's so much print in, it's hard to get the big hits. But, I mean, it just felt like, I don't know, I just have, after ripping my hobby box, I just have stacks of cards of dudes that I have just never even heard of. And I feel like I pay pretty good attention. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it was
the break was fun.
Yeah, and that's kind of, you know, as I'm going through, you know, like I said, it's my first time breaking. So I like to, you know, maybe mention every card and every once in a while throw a little jackass comment in there because it's just the way that I am. And I just found myself like, yo, this guy's still in the league? Wow, this guy was on this team? Like, who the hell is this guy? What was that? The one that kept hitting Miles Mastroboni from the Cubs? And then there was another one. Where I made the gynecologist joke, there was some really, really bizarre dudes in here, and I'm fairly knowledgeable when it comes to, you know, baseball, and the hobby and checklists and things like that. But, you know, going through breaking a whole box, talking about the whole box while you're breaking it, and then going back through an hour later and sorting it all out by team, you know, each card and putting it into a separate stack. And so, you know, I really get a good feel for what a jumbo box looks like and how each of the teams hit. And yeah, man, like 60-70% of these guys are, who the hell is this guy? The rookie checklist is solid, but, you know, a lot of your parallels that you're going to hit are not going to be awesome because they're going to be of guys like Miles Mastrobini. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that the thing is, like, those veterans, they're not the chase of the product anyway, right? But the thing that it makes a difference on is when you're hitting like your gold foils, your rainbow foils, and your gold cards, it's cool when you hit somebody who you actually recognize and, mm-hmm. and you actually like the player. But when you're hitting complete no names, that can be unfortunate. So let me give you a quick rundown just to give people an idea of what's in a box. I just pulled out. So I opened a jumbo as well. For the sake of science, I'll say I ordered from Steel City about a week ago, got a pretty good price. Free shipping, didn't pay a shipping up charge.
Why don't you?
I'm sorry. I'm giving the people the info. No tax applied, no sales tax. As a California resident, that's a big deal because that's a lot of money. So I got it from them probably about 10 days ago when they were at $225. So I'm $225 to my door. I got the notice as well on Monday that it shipped. Mine arrived on Thursday. So for what that's worth, buying from Topps' distribution partners seem to be getting you the boxes quicker for whatever reason. I think we all have our ideas on what the reason is, but I'm going to not talk too much shit on them here. So to give you an idea, I thought there were supposed to be three golds per jumbo box. I only hit two. It was Rowdy Tellez and Thero Estrada for the Giants. Those were my golds. Again, no idea who that Giant is. Tellez, good player, but first baseman. My gold foils, I actually got a couple of nice ones. I got Luis Castillo, Jose Abreu, Royce Lewis, Jesus Aguilar, and Javier Baez. So not bad. No real rookies of note. My rainbow foils, I got Evan Longoria, Jesus Luzardo, and Hayden Wisniewski, and a Baltimore Orioles checklist card. So nothing too exciting there. Mm-hmm. In terms of the rookies, I think I got one base card of every one of the major rookies. I got two James Outmans. Mm-hmm. But everybody else, I got one of them. Like Volpe, Jordan Walker, Senga, Alvarez, Carroll, Yoshida, all those dudes. I got one, except Outman. I got two base cards up. But again, no, unfortunately for me, no color on those rookies. That would have been really nice. Mm-hmm. So then in terms of my bigger hits, I would say my relic was an Oscar Gonzalez rookie relic, player worn, really boring swatch, not a really exciting player, but not horrible. And I got a Chris Sale Father's Day out of 50. So that's a nice card, but you don't want that to be the nicest card in your box. I got a Justin Verlander rainbow foil. I like Verlander, so I like that card. I got a Randy Johnson Legends of the Game blue foil, which looking at the odds, it's not numbered, but it's a pretty tough hit. So I'll take that. And then I got this Justin Verlander manufactured relic of the crowning achievements. Actually, pretty cool card. I like the look of these crowning achievement cards. Yeah,
that's nice. That's nice.
Yeah, it's commemorates the year 2011 where he won the Triple Crown. And then here's what I got the real problem with. I got a fucking sticker auto of Davis Martin as my autograph. So those of you who don't know, he is not in the major leagues. He's 26 years old and he pitched about 15 games last year in the majors. So that is, you know, and I think a lot of people are getting that. I mean, just set your expectations low with the auto. I know a lot of people will say, oh, buy the jumbo over the hobby because at least you get an auto. Dude, my daughter could throw this auto in the trash and I wouldn't care. So don't let the auto make your decision. You could get something better. I saw some nice hits in the Discord today. Again, the James Outman that we hit and in the break box, that was nice. But yeah, my box wasn't too good. But when I take a step back and really think about it, I do, when I lump in the inserts and the other things that were pretty cool, I did come away with about 50 cards that I'm going to keep and add to my PC. Nice. But most of them are sub $5 cards. Most of them are $1, $2 cards. So that's about what you can expect. But you might hit a banger. But yeah, just count on, you know, you're going to get about 50 cards that you're probably going to like, but they're not going to be huge dollar value cards. So if you're in it for the collecting and you want to have a really big PC, a jumbo box, probably a good buy. But right now I just have stacks of base all over my desk. It's just so many cards that I don't even know what to do with. And it feels stupid to just get rid of them after I paid so much money for a jumbo. So I don't know. I'm not going to do that because then I have to keep it somewhere.
That's true.
I like having cards and I love cards, but I don't want to be the guy that like my cards overrun me and I don't have a place to sleep anymore because my cards need to sleep somewhere. Yeah, exactly. Literally, TJ's got cards all over a bed behind me. So. All right, man. Exactly. I didn't even see that when I made that comment. So my smart-ass comment was perfect. Fuck.
In fairness,
your cards sleep good on that bed? Is it like memory foam for them?
In fairness, so. This is the office, which is also half a guest bedroom, and it's not being used by anybody. So this is the cards / podcast area, whatever. But yeah, I cleared off the desk where I usually keep my shoe houses so I could run the break. So everything's on the bed right now. But Yeah, like you said, man, I got way too much stuff. So I got to find a way to kind of get rid of it. So I've been doing a few donations lately, taking stuff to Goodwill and sending them to people who give them to little kids at Little League games, things like that.
Goodwill gets really excited when you drop off a big stack of modern cards in good condition. At least mine does. That's where I take mine as well. But I just took a huge box. I don't want to. It's sobering when you look at how much you're just trashing.
Yeah, but
I guess it's not really trashing. Somebody's getting that and somebody's loving it. We're all at different levels of the hobby. This this Alex Bregman base card that I'm holding could be someone else's treasure. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was mid though. I think again, you guys know I buy a lot of singles. I don't break a lot of boxes. I think that's probably my fill on jumbos for the year. Because again, I just got all these cards now, like even to get ready for the podcast, I'm like, how do I even clear myself some space for my microphone and my computer on my desk right now? Yeah. So what are you going to do? You got two boxes coming. Are any of them going to be personal boxes? I'm hearing about another break.
Yeah. So, we broke the one, and there's a little recap of it. I posted on YouTube. You can, find a link to it on the Discord if you want to check that out, or on my Reddit page. And it's basically exactly like what your box was, bro, but with a decent auto. The manufacturer relic, as you know, was pretty nice. The Aaron Judge at a $299. So Bobby had the Yankees in the break, and, man, you hit two numbered cards. So it looked like the Yankees, the Diamondbacks did well because they got some Carroll autos, and then as well as two numbered cards, two of the out of 2023s.
Not a Carroll auto.
Nope.
Not a Carroll.
Nope.
Just, sorry, I thought you said auto. Cards. I'm like, no, no.
Nope. The Cubs actually did pretty well, and the Rays did okay as well. So, yeah, a couple guys walked out of there with a few decent cards, but again, nothing life-changing. So, like you said, I got the two train derailment boxes on their way in on Monday. Yeah, I think we're going to run it back, bro, and do another nonprofit break on the Discord stream. Everybody seemed to enjoy that. I think it was a good time. I had fun with it. I really enjoy just, you know, opening cards and stuff like that, and just hoping that somebody gets something awesome out of there. So I think we'll run it back and do another one. We'll probably have that completed by the time this episode comes out. We'll try to do it as quick as we can, but we'll put it together, get it organized, and get everybody involved, and just get everybody in onto a low cost break, and try to get, you know, a lot of the same guys, but also, you know, a few fresh faces as well, and try to get a lot of people an opportunity to be a part of that. So yeah, lots of fun. And then I got to rip at least one jumbo and pray for a monster. So that's where the inner debate will come in, and I'll try to decide which one I'm going to keep and which one I'm going to break. But it'll be a good time. So yeah, looking forward to seeing what comes out of there. I already missed my, you know, release week hype selling window. So, you know, those in reality, you know, those boxes are worth a lot less than they were 6-7 days ago, you know, just what's inside of them. So it really doesn't
matter. It's in the fucking box.
That's right. We need one of those in a town board. So yeah, it really doesn't matter what I do with them at this point. There's no hype in them. They got what they got. I can rip them tomorrow, next week, next month. It is what it is.
Yeah. I feel bad, man. You put a lot into it, and I feel like this damn trade derailment. Like, what the hell?
Nah, it still worked out. Shout out to Showtime Sports Cards. My man came through. So we made it happen. Yeah. We made it happen.
The break was fun. I felt good about the break. That was only I think I told you guys, that was only the second break I've ever done in my life. It's not really my thing. It was more for the community building and like hanging out with the guys for me. And just seeing, was my box complete and utter shit, or was it just, you know, par for the course? And I think it was par for the course, but I was pretty happy. I think I got better cards out of my $12 spot in the break. Cause like I said, I got that Judge to $299. It's actually a cool card. We were talking about it. TJ sent me some pictures so I could list it up and capitalize on hype. And then we're talking about promoting the listing and stuff as well. And I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to keep the card. It's pretty cool. It's commemorating last season when he led the league in homers and RBIs. It's a numbered card. It's pretty nice looking, and it'll help me remember this break 20 years from now. So I'm going to keep that one. I think it's a pretty cool card. So, yeah.
It was pretty nice. It's the red parallel, so it makes that background look kind of nice. And, you know, like you said, it's we're all, you know, super in the moment. I think the majority of collectors, especially when you're talking about ultra modern, but, you know, think back, you know, 20 years ago and you think about Albert Pujols and Ichiro and, you know, what would we think about, you know, these guys today, 20 years from now, who's going to be the ones that are going to have the staying power? The man hit 62 home runs in a season, bro. That's not anything that's going to be easily or soon forgotten. He's a career Yankee. That's one of those cards that, you know, it's numbered. So despite the fact that it's, you know, a little manufactured relic, it's kind of cheesy or whatever, but I think that there's some staying power there, and that's something that is worthy of a hold and a nice little memory in a couple of different ways, like you said. So yeah, super cool, man. Nice little card.
Yeah, for sure. And I saw Yachty hit in the Discord. Yeah. So he's got autos still.
Yeah,
so and they're not redemptions. Nah. So like where the fuck are your autos that he needs to sign?
He's not signing no triple threads, I'll tell you that. I've got a redemption for a triple threads and it's numbered to 3. Coming back, and I can't wait to see what it looks like. And I'm about 99% sure it's going to be one of those ones, like you said, with the stupid words engraved into it that, you know, if you read it the right way, it says something that relates to baseball. And if you read it the wrong way, it's like somebody speaking in tongues or something like that. So yeah, I can't wait to see what that looks like. It's numbered to 3, so it should be a nasty patch, but he hasn't signed it.
How long, or does Topps like email you when redemptions ship? I've never had a redemption that I've actually redeemed.
They do. They'll let you know. And it also will email you and let you know when your missing hit submissions ship. So I was missing a hit from an update hobby box recently. And here just a couple weeks ago, they sent me a Manny Machado manufactured relic that's worth like $3. But they sent me an email to let me know it was coming, and it's even sealed in the top loader with the stupid top stickers. Like, they spent more money shipping this damn thing than the card is actually worth. But so yeah, they'll send you an email and let you know. Another thing is, if you'll go in there and look at your open redemptions, you can see when it says request substitution or, you know, whatever. And my Yachty is in the request sub phase at this point. So I just tiptoe around that and make sure I don't accidentally click the request sub and screw up my whole life.
Yeah. You don't want to do that. The replacement could be something really shitty. It could be like Wilson Contreras or something that.
No, we don't want that. The Cardinals don't even want that.
Oh man. I've got, you know, the card. I post again, shout to the Discord. I posted my first redemption. I bought it, but it's the J-Rod Real Ones auto. So I'm super excited. And Topps Heritage. Can we like divert? Can we do 2 minutes on Topps Heritage?
Do your thing, bro. I bought a hobby box. We did a rip on the Discord of it. It was absolutely fucking brutal. But yeah, let's hear about it.
Well, so I'll lead with that. I think it's a set builder set, right? We talked about that last episode. The odds of hits, they're few and far between, right? But they do have a lot of cool shit in there. I think it's printed to the moon, and that's why probably every department store that you're in that carries cards from now for the next 6 months will probably have some form of Heritage on the shelves. Mm-hmm. So we were talking about like some of the image variations, specifically like the Adley and the Gunner last week. And then I started doing a deep dive. There are some really nice image variations that are fairly cheap. So Topps flagship doesn't have your standard SPs anymore. We're going to talk about golden mirrors in a sec, but I almost feel like the new SPs are coming out of Heritage. Unfortunately, still not legend SPs, but man, I've got a long list of them that I'm trying to get. So far, I got the Corbin Carroll one. So Corbin Carroll rookie card image variation. If that's a flagship image variation, you're talking over $100 easy. This one was $25. Got to me in pretty good shape.
Okay.
Super cool.
I see where you're going, and I like it.
There's lots of them, and that Adley's beautiful. I haven't gotten that one yet. Even veterans, there are some really cool veterans. Like there's a cool Bryce Harper one. There's a cool Trout, Vlad, Acuna, Judge. And a lot of those veteran ones are sub $20. Like the Vlad one is like $6 or something like that. And where I'm going is the print run. I did some math on it and checked my sources with a few other people online. The print run's like 1,100. So there are not very many of these cards.
Wow.
So I think those are sneaky. Now you're not going to you're not going to buy them and send them to PSA. Mm-hmm. Heritage, I just have no, I never, there's certainly nines and tens that come from Heritage, but I'm never buying a Heritage card with the intent to grade it because
edges and corners are rough.
Yeah, it's brutal. I'm just buying it to enjoy it. And with a print run of 1,100, you look back and the variation, the image variation of guys like Wander and O'Neill Cruz are now like comping around like $70.
Mm-hmm.
Are they, that's nearly three times what I paid for Corbin Carroll. Are those guys three times the player of him? No, but supply dried up. So I'd encourage you to take a look and see if you're interested because supply will dry up on these. It'll take a while, but it'll dry up. And I feel like prices have already come down to a level where it makes sense. So
yeah, Heritage is a huge, huge, huge set builders set, and it has a very, very loyal following. So those low-numbered SPs, your set builders are looking for those because they're going to build the complete set. They want all the image variations. They want all the different color variations, all that other type of stuff of a base set, complete, you know. So that's when you'll start to see that dry up is, you know, and those aren't coming back out for sale. That's in a set, that's going in a box, that's going in a collection, that's going in a closet. And you'll see that for sale in 30 or 40 years when that individual passes away and one of their kids is selling that stuff, is not coming back out on the secondary market. So, you're absolutely right. There's some, manufactured scarcity, if you will, in that because there is a high demand for at least one of each card in that set to a certain number of people that are going to chase that every single year, no matter what. So, it's a tough set and it's a good buy singles, set. We had fun with the break, but I think there was like three hits in a hobby box. We had the Manny Machado, image variation that's on his way to you as we speak. And then a couple of other, you know, a numbered card. I don't even remember who they were. It didn't even matter.
Yeah. The other thing on Heritage, I doubt guys are building this set because it would get ridiculously expensive, but the autos, they're called the Real One Auto or Real Ones.
Mm-hmm.
Those are extremely rare as well. Print run on those is less than 600 for the regular blue ink. And for the red ink, I forget what they're up to. I think it might be out of 74 this year. It's whatever year the Heritage, you know.
That's kind of cool, right? I mean, you like stuff like that, right? You
know, I love that shit.
Yeah, you got to know to know. You know what I mean? I like that kind of stuff.
So I bought the Julio, the rookie one from 2022. That's the redemption that I bought.
Gorgeous.
Really excited about that one. Now I'm kind of hunting a little bit for, I've really wanted a Trout rookie card for ages. And Star Wars guys, I think I'm going to sell my, I just have a little bit of a sour taste about breaking boxes after this S2 jumbo. I think I'm going to sell my Star Wars Sapphire box and put it towards a Trout auto. And I think it's going to be a Heritage auto. So fingers crossed. We'll see.
I think that's a good investment.
Dude, Trout. Hell yeah. And just Heritage. I mean, I never thought much of it. And it's starting to grow on me in a big way. There's all kinds of good stuff out there. You can get like I won't ramble. Let's go back to Series 2. Anything you're chasing from Series 2?
Jordan Walker, big homer pick from me. But, you know, I think he's a tooled up kid that has the right tools. You know, he hits for power and he's fast and he can field. So I think, you know, that's a nice –
a nice kind of maybe a new Cardinal kid that I can chase. I went real hard on Dylan Carlson in 21, and that didn't really work out for me. And, you know, Yachty isn't really going to have as many cards in sets here moving forward. So I like Jordan Walker. Mark Vientos from the Mets. I think that's kind of a sneaky pickup. I think everybody's paying attention to Beatty and Alvarez, and I kind of like Vientos a little bit. And then, like you said, Yachty has an auto in the set. He's also got some relics in the set. So I actually worked out a nice trade for a Yachty relic out of 25 that's headed my way. And I'm in the process of working out a deal for a Yachty Mojo out of 25 orange also with the guy. So I just need to see if I can find a nice Brewers card to send back to him. I might have to work out a three-way trade or something.
Nice. Jordan Walker's a beast, man. I don't think you can go wrong there. I think he's like the type of guy that if he puts it all together, even if he isn't the best like superstar or doesn't put up like he's not like Nolan Arenado, right? But he's the type of guy that's going to like capture the imagination of the hobby. Like, oh, he hit a homer this number of feet with exit velo of this many miles an hour. So, yeah, we'll see. I like Jordan Walker. But you guys know my big one, right? Corbin Carroll.
Yeah, yeah.
He hit two homers in a grand slam last night. I was negotiating with somebody on a Corbin Carroll golden mirror last night. The negotiations ended with him putting it up for auction. So I lost. yeah, I was... I'm willing to go pretty high on it, but I'm not willing to go like above Adley pricing.
Don't buy one this week, bro. Don't buy one this week. Wait it out just a little bit.
Yeah. Trying to be smart, but these things are so short printed. And that is what I found out doing that Padres golden mirror. Like I waited on the Tatis. I was like, I'm not going to buy the Tatis. It's not that great of an image. I wasn't buying the Tatis at 150, and then I was like begging to buy it over 200, and the supply was gone. It was just dry. So that's the thing. It's like you got to find the sweet spot with these because at least what happened with Series 1 is you're right. That first week, pricing was elevated, and then it started to dip. Most products, it keeps diving, right? Unless somebody has a big breakout. With those golden mirrors, it like hit a floor, at least for the marquee players, and then the cards were just gone. Like they were just gone. Like you got, pardon my Padres in the Discord is also chasing that Padres golden mirror set, and he just needs to even find a Tatis card to bid on because there was nothing. There's nothing out there. Like it's just not available.
That's what happened with the SSPs, man. I'm telling you, my hardest chases in the hobby have been, you know, the 2016, the 2018 Yadier Molina SSP is the hardest. Just, you have no idea, man. I've seen less than five of each of those for sale. Less than three, as a matter of fact, of each of those in my lifetime.
Damn. Yeah, SSPs are tough. Like the Tatis mask up from... 2021 Gypsy Queen. That was one that was on my list forever, and it just was never available. And I saw more than three of them, but they would always pop up after I spent a ridiculous amount of money on some other card is the problem. Okay. So yeah, that's the other thing. The golden mirrors. I'm going to continue. I'm going to try to do a gold and a golden mirror of every Padre in the set all the way through update. There are a couple cool images. I didn't get the Manny that I wanted. Yeah. Did you see the Manny?
Yeah,
it's from the right night, but it's not the right image.
Yeah.
Still pretty cool, but I feel like missed opportunity tops. Especially after seeing like, I think it was like the Yankees, a bunch of their golden mirrors were like champagne is spraying all around kind of thing. So I was like getting my hopes up. Yep. I'm like, it's coming. The other one that I haven't seen pop up is, so the Padres team card is them rushing the field after they beat the Dodgers in the NLDS. I haven't seen the golden mirror. So if you flip it and put it in, like it could be a locker or like a clubhouse celebration. That could be super fucking cool.
It might be nice.
We'll see. But they dropped the, if you look at the golden mirrors, like the little Topps logo on the top is not gold anymore.
No, it's not.
It's silver. What the fuck? Is this a silver mirror? I don't understand.
So, and I wonder, are they still flipped over in the packs? I think a lot of guys said that they were, but, you know, hey, for what it's worth.
Shit, you didn't check the backs.
Yeah, it's, yeah, and I saw a couple guys going on in the chat about that. He didn't check the backs. And then there's this ongoing neutral review joke, you pack of jackals. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, you might have a golden mirror in there. Check your back. Check your own damn backs. How about that?
Yeah, I check the backs of all my cards for the same reason. But, yeah, I don't get why they changed it. I liked the touch of the gold on the front, but maybe that costs an extra few bucks for the production run. So
yeah.
Or maybe it was just a fuck up. I still go back and forth. Are these guys like evil geniuses or are they just like idiots? You know, like the evil genius, like the Antoine Griezmann video is, that's a evil genius video. Then you've got shit like Topps Chrome last year, not even putting the right cards in the box. That's just a clueless idiot. It's like there's so much blend between the two that we just don't know anymore.
My favorite Bobby Baseball quote to date, where the fuck are the J-Rod cards?
Dude, I was so mad. Oh my God. It's, that was the first time in this hobby, I think, like that I was straight up just pissed off. I'm like, man, these are like the first day. I'm like, these are really hard hits. Like, where are they? My God. I can't wait to see the image.
I'm usually not a grouchy bastard, but it seems like ever since I started doing this podcast, Topps keeps coming up with new ways to piss me off. And so, you know, and I don't want to, you know, be that guy, you know, shouting at the sky, clearing off my lawn on a daily basis and things like that. But I mean, we got derailed trains. We got jumbo prices of Bowman spiking 60% overnight based on absolutely nothing whatsoever. We got Yadier Molina signing this, but not that. We got card packs of cards with two cards in it worth $35 each, selling for $1,000. You leave me no choice, man. You leave me no choice. I'm in a corner over here.
Oh, poor guy. Poor guy. And like my number one thing that I always want the hobby to be and this podcast to be is like positive. Like we get enough negative bullshit in the world with the way our politics are in this country and globally and cancel culture and just all that bullshit. So we're trying to have fun, but we also want to be critical. We'll throw the shade when it's deserved and we'll give the credit when it's deserved. But yeah, I don't know what to say about the train. I never have any expectations when it comes to shipping. I think I shared with in the Discord, like the last time I got really pissed off about shipping was over my PS5 that I pre-ordered and was like desperate to play that didn't get here in time. But at the end of the day, it wasn't really that big of a deal, but I was pissed off in the moment. So I would just say, don't pay for that overnight shipping. Nope. And the thing that's also tricky is I would say, just don't fucking buy from Topps. Buy from, you know, whoever, one of their distributors, because they're like more reliable, it seems like, because they actually have, like skin in the game. Like they have something to lose if they fuck shit up. Mm-hmm. If Topps screws something up, it's like, whatever. Who are you going to buy from? Like,
and I think it's also kind of picking and choosing what you're pre-ordering too, right? So, you know, with the Bowman pre-order, that proved to be necessary if you wanted the jumbo. But with the S2, definitely not necessary at all whatsoever. They hiked the price up by 10 bucks. Last time I checked, the shit was still sitting on the site ready for you to buy. So pre-order Bowman. Don't pre-order anything else. Except for maybe, I guess, pre-order your high-end, right? When the high-end stuff comes out, you want to pre-order that because you know that stuff's going to increase exponentially. Your Sapphire, your Bowman, your Sterling, your Tribute, et cetera, et cetera. So just pick and choose where you put your money and be real smart about it. Like Bobby said, I mean, your local retailers, they have a lot more skin in the game than Topps, who they, like we talked about before, can just hand us whatever and we have to take it. So. Yeah, be smart about where you put your money.
Well said. Mailbag.
Let's get it.
The daddy stuff. My question, has TJ taken any classes for his anger issues?
In short, hell no. Me and Mr. Jameson or Mr. Daniels have a standing nightly appointment for somewhere between 8 and 9 p.m., depending on availability. And, you know, other than that, I try to channel my rage in the appropriate, you know, arenas of life. But I'm generally a happy guy. I just tend to be a sarcastic jackass. So what are you going to do?
He says it all with a smile on his face. So, all right. From Statnut, what are you guys most excited about for Series 2? How about for you, TJ?
I'm excited to open a personal box. I'm really excited to get another break in with the guys. And I would love to see some Jordan Walker color at an affordable price so I can grab one or two and just kind of stash them.
Yep. For me, more Golden Mirrors. Yeah. I love it. You guys know how much I love it. And then there's another thing that I'm pretty excited about, but Trigger is going to cover it. So Trigger 017, if you had to bet on one rookie from Series 2 to make it to the Hall of Fame or lose your entire PC, who would it be? So first off, I would never make that bet. But TJ, how confident are you in any of these guys?
Shit. So, you know, I got in on the Yachty when he was 15, 16 years into the league, and it was already pretty well established where he was going to go. So, you know, I've got my PC set with a guy who is Hall of Fame bound. I wouldn't bet that on anybody, because I can look at those cards for the rest of my life and be happy with them. But with that said, if I had to pick one gun to my head, I'd pick Jordan Walker. I'd bet on the tools, I bet on the pedigree, and I just bet on Jordan Walker. I like him.
Nice. Yeah. And like you said, it is just far too early. When these guys are this young, there's just so much that can happen. So I would never bet on my entire PC. And just remember, like, some of these guys could flame out. They could, like, my guy's Corbin Carroll, but he could, you know, he could blow out an ACL and lose his speed, or who knows? There's a lot of stuff that can happen. Pitchers could find a hole in his game that he could never adapt to at the plate. Things change. So, but my guy's Corbin Carroll. For me, I am chasing a golden mirror. I like the image. I think it's a super cool image. I do really hope to get one. The others I'm looking at for him, his 1988 auto is a redemption. So I'm going to wait and see what that looks like. That might be something I'm interested in. And really for anybody you're chasing rookie wise, I think the two parallels I would be after is the gold out of 2023. Mm-hmm. It's just consistent. It's classic. There's a collecting base for it that it'll always have value. Sorry. And if you really, really want to go premium, I would do the black. So I think if it's out of 72 or out of 73. Yeah. If you really want to go premium, I'd do that. Unfortunately, both of those are tough grades. So I wouldn't be counting on getting a PSA 10. I'd be thinking about buying it, putting in a nice one touch that holds a sleeve. So pro mold. Great one touches for that. I would never put a card in a one touch without a sleeve. That's just me. But Pro Mold makes some really good ones where you can sleeve a card, put it in the one touch, look great on display. But yeah, you never know. Like a guy like Anthony Volpe, he could be a Hall of Famer. Your boy Esturi Ruiz could steal 1,500 bases. I mean, he's got 30 this year. So you never know. I doubt people were chasing a guy like Yachty when he was a rookie. So
nope.
Just, you know, you never know what's going to happen. Good question though. All right. Let's see what else we got here. Oh shit. Discord skipped on me. All right. From Metsy Commoner. If you guys got picked up by Topps to come up with the new insert set, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would probably focus on guys who played the majority of their career with one uniform on, and or some combination of a guy like maybe a Curt Schilling who, you know, was the guy in Arizona for a little while and then the guy in Boston. You know what I mean? He had his, you know, kind of thing. And guys who had defining moments in specific teams or cities. I think that that would be something cool to focus on. So, you know, McGuire, he could have, you know, maybe a moment from when he smashed one off Randy Johnson in the Kingdom, you know, all the way out of the world. You know what I mean? And then also, you know, when he hit 70 and 98 with the Cardinals, just, you know, kind of a defining moments type of thing. I think that would be fun to focus on.
I'm going to piggyback off that because I didn't see this question before. And I think that would be cool because a lot of sets do have things like that, like Allen and Ginter had their
A moment to remember.
Yeah. Like you got like your Luis Gonzalez bloop single against Mo Rivera to walk off the World Series. You've got your Mazeroski 1960 World Series homer against the Yankees. You do Judge's 60-second homer, like McGuire, one of his big homers. You could do all kinds of crazy stuff. But yeah, some kind of homage to iconic moments in the game somehow mm-hmm. would be super cool.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mr. Phil. So maybe before I read his question, I'll say SGC is running the $9 grading special for Top Series 2 again.
Mm-hmm.
And his question is, how does the era of $9 SGC specials affect your opinion of slabs? Is this a junk slab era? Is there too much graded base? Or is it great for collecting in the future because there's lots of inventory as people join the hobby? Or are we indifferent?
So SGC did their first $9 grading special last year when Bowman Chrome came out. And I went absolutely crazy on that. I think I submitted over 50 cards before it was all said and done. And we're talking in a span of like 2 months or less, something like that. Needless to say, I still have the majority of those, partially because part of the Bowman game is you got to hold it a little while, you know, for the right moment to sell. But also partially because, as I've learned, and I'm really sorry, you know, to some of you guys, but certain cards people don't want in SGC slabs. And it's my firm belief that ultra modern is one of those things. And I think that SGC recognizes that. And that's a large part of the reason why they're running these specials. I think that for your ultra modern, high dollar cards, people want it in a PSA slab. And, you know, that's not necessarily my personal preference, but I'm just telling you what the market says. You know, I've crossed over a couple of high grade, low numbered Bowman cards from SGC to PSA and 3 or 4x the price just because of the slab. The grade didn't even change.
Do you crack the slab when you do it?
Man, I send them straight in the SGC slab. So, you know, everybody tells you got to crack it. I sent that Jack Centurio in a 9.5 SGC. It came back a PSA 10. Sent it in the slab. Just wrapped it up. Cardboard, bubble mailer, sent it straight to them just how it looked. They sent it back to me. They even send you the little SGC label. It's kind of cool. So I still have that. But, you know, people don't want ultra modern and SGC slabs. And like I said, SGC is cognizant of that, but you know, this isn't my opinion. Go to eBay and look at the sales, right? And so I think it does contribute to a little bit of a junk slab kind of thing. If you're subbing with SGC for PC because you like the way that the Tux looks, I agree with you. That shit is awesome. And certain cards only belong in an SGC slab. I think we've talked about that before. But if you're buying to flip, you know, to grade and then to flip, and you're doing it with SGC, depending on what kind of cards, it's probably not the best move. So you got a lot of Corbin Carroll SGC 10s are going to be sitting there for $10, $15. They cost $9 to grade and you had to pay for it to ship. What the hell are you doing? You know what I mean? So they're running up the pop reports and stuff like that. Generally, I'm grading low number. I'm grading rare. I'm grading SPs. I'm grading inserts. I'm grading cards that condition is typically something that's questionable so that, you know, I can erase any doubt or any question. If I'm selling a $5,000 card, I don't want some asshole messaging me, how do the corners look? Can you send me some more pictures? No, man, it's graded. It's a 10. You see what it is, pay the price. So that's my thing.
I'm with you. So when I grade, if I have any inkling that I'm going to resell, it's going to PSA. I'll wait the 30 days. That said, I've never tested it out, but I think there are opportunities, but it's already passed. Like if you would get a jumbo box on release day and you immediately turn around and that day send all your base rookies to SGC under this $9 special, you get the image. Let's say you get the image by Monday or Tuesday, because they are that damn quick sometimes.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
You get it up listed on eBay before you even have that card back. You can have it sold by Thursday or Friday for maybe 40, 50 bucks. And yeah, then the card gets to you and you ship it right back out.
100%
it's just
correct.
Too much effort for me, but I think that opportunity is always there. I think I've seen it before. Again, not what I'm doing. But TJ, you're right. It's selling SGC cards. It's like the way I think of it is it's just like, and I think Rob Kent, Flagship Baseball Cards podcast, used this term, and I 100% agree with him. It's friction. It is something, it being in an SGC slab is friction that's slowing down your sales. If it's mm-hmm. in a PSA mm-hmm. slab, it's going to go. SGC, you've already knocked off 50% of your potential buyers because mm-hmm. they're just not going to buy it.
They don't want it.
That said, I love SGC. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it quite a lot. I trust them as graders. I think the slab looks better in many cases. And if I'm going out and buying a really big card, I would much rather buy an SGC 9, and we're talking big dollar value card, right? Not your $50 or $100 card, but like a $500, $600, $700 card in a PSA 10. You can usually get a SGC 10 for 60% of the price. That's mm-hmm. the rule of thumb that I've used, 60%. If you're willing to go 9.5, you can get even lower. Mm-hmm. So you can really juice your PC with good graded cards in a nice slab that you don't have to worry about the condition on if you're good with an SGC slab.
Yep.
That said, when you go to turn around and grade it or turn around and sell it, if you want to sell it someday, don't be expecting PSA 10 prices because you're not going to get it. So,
yep. Yeah. 100%.
Unless there's a PSA scandal and SGC takes over, which who the hell knows, it could happen. There was a time when people were cracking PSA 10 slabs to send to BGS because yep. they were the leader. So yep. that is the pain that can happen. Remember, you're buying the card. You're not buying the slab. So the slab is just somebody's opinion on that day of what the condition is. Take it for what it's worth and just weigh all the facts and circumstances. But I think if you're selling, unless it's extremely time sensitive, go to PSA. And if it's for the PC and you like the look of SGC, I think this $9 deal is great. Like if you just want base rookie cards of, you know, every top rookie out there and you just want to hold them forever, I think SGC and this $9 special is phenomenal. So these cards will look great in an SGC slab with that white border.
Oh, yeah.
And the tux on top. So,
oh, yeah.
Whew. All right. Most modern. This is a sad question. What is your greatest sports card tragedy tale? And then I'm going to tell his. It's sad. And I'll let TJ think of his worst tragedy. Back in 1999, my family took a road trip to Seattle for a cousin's wedding. I bought a pack of Stadium Club at a gas station in South Dakota or Montana and pulled a dual auto of Roger Clemens and Alou. I'm assuming Moises Alou. It was my first auto. I kept that card and a handful of others with me through college and afterwards. At some point between 2018 and 2020, I've either severely misplaced the card or it got tossed on accident with other stuff. It wasn't incredibly valuable, but very sentimental. I hope to find it someday, but I fear the worst is reality. Oof. Man, that's tough.
Ouch.
You got anything like that? Any Yachty's get away?
No,
find but... find their way into the wash?
Yeah. So when I first started collecting in 2020, you know, blah, blah, blah. Everybody has that same story, whatever. I bought a lot of breaks. I bought into, you know, whatever retail I could find on the shelf, which wasn't very much. And I really didn't know a lot about a lot in the hobby. I really hadn't found the baseball card subreddit yet. So I didn't really have a resource or an outlet to talk to anybody about anything about what was going on. All I knew was what I saw on the baseball field and what I had in my hands in terms of baseball cards. So, you know, as I kind of progressed, I ended up, you know, accumulating, like we talked about, all this bulk, you know what I mean? All this just piles of crap. And, you know, I started kind of purging a lot of base, stuff that I had accumulated from breaks. So, you know, I'm doing Cardinals breaks and stuff like that. I've got piles and piles of Randy or Rosarena cards that they just weren't worth anything, bro. I didn't see anything. The guy's getting benched. The guy's hurt. You know, the Cardinals traded him to the Rays. It just didn't seem like it was going to materialize. So, you know, I don't know how many base rookies just ended up in the trash, man. I'm being honest with you. It's painful to say it. And then how many, you know, chrome color autos that I just traded away for pennies on the dollar and stuff like that. And then within 30, 45 days, you know, I'm knowledgeable. I know a little bit more about what's going on. And it just dawns on me how many, literally hundreds and hundreds and probably more realistically thousands of dollars I pissed away because I didn't know what the hell I was doing. So, you know, I got taken advantage of in some trades. I got taken advantage of in some sales. I didn't really know, you know, what I was doing and what was going on. So, yeah, Randy or Rosarena is always a sore spot for me, kind of like how the Cardinals traded him away for essentially nothing. I pretty much let him go for nothing as well. So I hold every rookie. I'm real cognizant of that. It kind of changed the way that I collect and do business.
Well, mine is, I had a large, for me at the time as a kid, sports card collection, mostly baseball, some football, some hockey, some basketball, but mostly baseball. It was in probably the equivalent of like one of those like four row big shoebox type things. My prized possession was, I have no idea what year it was, but I had a Roberto Clemente card from either the 60s or the early 70s. Not just that card got pitched. It was my dad. So my mom passed away pretty young when I was in my early 20s. And ultimately my dad was clearing out space in the house and didn't know what he was throwing away or whether he should check with me or not. He was just getting rid of old toys and all kinds of bullshit to like clear out his house in order to sell it. And every one of my cards went somewhere around 2010, including the Clemente. So there's a nice Roberto Clemente buried somewhere in some landfill.
Ouch.
I mean, they were mostly junk wax. Nothing really of huge value. I didn't have any autos or anything like that. But, you know, it would have been nice to go back through those cards, and that's something I'll never get back. So that's a pretty sizable loss, I would say, but monetarily not. Even the Clemente, I mean, it probably wasn't too much. My uncle was a big sports card collector, and he gave it to me. It was real beat up. Like, it's a PSA 1, best case. Yeah, so, yeah. But it was just the having it. So that's my story.
My childhood collection that's missing is my Clyde Drexler collection. I was real big into basketball cards when I was young, and I had, you know, before I was the Clyde or the Yachty guy, I was the Clyde Drexler kid. You know what I mean? So I probably had, I don't know, 115, 120 unique Clyde Drexler cards, which is a lot when you're 11 years old. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's still brutal. I miss those.
Yeah. And the year that I was really big into basketball cards, I still remember because I was in fourth grade and we just traded basketball cards like crazy. And it was the year of like, I think it was Iverson and Kobe's rookie year. So I had like just dozens of rookie cards of those guys, as well as everybody else in that class. It was a pretty, I forget who else was in it now, but I just remember like the Kobe, again, collector's choice, because I love collector's choice, but it's just him like soaring through the air through a dunk, for a dunk. It looks like they just completely staged it in an empty gym with just a basketball hoop and a black background. But yeah, I miss that stuff.
I used to have a little, you know, the little three cards and they break apart. It's three.
Yeah, that's the set.
So I had one and it had Kobe, Kevin Garnett, and somebody else on it. And it was nice. Yeah. It was like, God, this is going to be something. The other Kobe card I remember real quick is him dunking, but he has a cast on his other hand for some reason. Like, so he has
that might be the card.
Yeah. So, and it's like, it's an empty gym. There's nobody else in there. It's almost like dark. And he's going, he's flying through a dunk, but he's got a cast on his other hand. So, but anyway, yeah, basketball cards used to be.
That's cool. A good set. And Skybox, back when I thought that was premium, I had some like Skybox Kobe's because, again, that Ace Hardware store down the street from me really stocked collector's choice in Skybox. Yeah. So
I remember the old gold border set. Man. It was a good one.
Currently, I own one basketball card. I need to get a Kobe is what I need. Lakers are my team. So I've got a Shaq rookie card.
Nice.
It's like Topps gold plated, and he autographed it with a gold marker. It's super sweet. It's just a authenticated auto from Beckett, but super cool. All right, that's all the questions. Now that we've turned it into a basketball cards podcast for a little bit.
There we go.
Do the Heat have any chance at this point, or are they done, man?
No, man. Jokic is that man is not human. He's like that guy in Rocky that they killed Apollo Creed.
If he dies, he dies.
That man is something else. And you know what, man, is because, you know, the whole time I was pulling for the Suns first. I'm an Arizona boy, you know. So I was pulling for the Suns, and then I was, you know, kind of pulling for the Lakers. And I really thought, you know what I mean? I thought somebody would stop him. But, man, if Murray gets to shooting and Gordon and Porter get to hitting threes and flying around in the paint, they're tough to beat, man. That's a big, long, fast, athletic team. I think Denver's got it sewn up. It'll be nice to see Jokic get a trophy to go with all those MVPs. I think everybody will take him serious after that.
Dude, he's insane. I still think – I know the Lakers got swept, but I still think they would have won that series if Murray hadn't gotten so hot at the end of game two. Like, you remember, he was just draining
He was out of his mind.
The Lakers played a good game to even be in it. Like, they should have won that game. Yeah. It's just so different if you're coming back tied 1-1. I think to lose that game when they played so well, that was just rip out the heart and stomp on it.
Yeah, it was rough. Man. But, credit to Denver. Credit to Denver. Yeah.
They're earning it.
That's for sure. The basketball podcast.
People are trying to make it a network. They're like, oh, you could be like John Boy Media, get a whole bunch of different things going. I think we're just baseball for now. No Star Wars today. Just a little bit of basketball.
We could do football. A basketball junk wax podcast. That's something I'm knowledgeable about.
I would, you know, going back through basketball junk wax would be fun. Especially, like, I wonder how much they're probably too expensive because it's the Kobe and AI rookie year, but it'd be fun to rip a box of that collector's choice basketball. That's what I'm gonna go look up when we get done.
Find one, bro. Let's break it. Let's break it. I'm a breaker now, I guess. Let's go.
All right. Well, thank you guys. Thanks, TJ, for running the break. That was awesome. I had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun talking to everybody. During the break, looking forward to doing the next one. I was very lucky to get the Yankees and get a decent hit. So maybe next time we get the D-backs over here, we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. I'll set it up and get the information out there. Thanks for stopping by and chiming in during it. I think it was a lot of fun to have, you know, everybody there. I think we had 20-something guys in the room pretty close off and on. So that was a good time. We'll do it again and we'll do it often. Join the Discord, guys. That's the way to get involved. We're up over 150 guys. I'm going to do another Bowman Chrome Slab giveaway on Tuesday when this drops on the Discord. All you have to do is just be an active member in there, man, and just, you know, be part of the team. So thanks, everybody. Appreciate you. Shout out to the Baseball Cards Reddit Discord, Reddit page, and the EFIS Baseball Card Discord. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, TJ, and appreciate all the listeners. Everyone in the Discord, it's been awesome. Man, the Discord has really taken off, and it's a lot of fun. So thank you guys. You it's so much more fun doing episodes now, actually talking to the people that listen. I knew people were listening like last year when I was doing this, but I didn't know who any of them were. It was just numbers, right? Mm-hmm. So to get to know some of you guys in the Discord has been, it's been really awesome. So thank you for that. And we'll talk in a couple weeks.
See you later.